Welcome to Component 2, the culture of healthcare. This is Unit 3, healthcare settings, the places where healthcare is delivered. This second lecture focuses on hospitals. In this lecture, we will look at the different types of hospitals that serve people in the U.S. We will also discuss the delivery of healthcare in three non-traditional settings: school-based health centers, community health centers, and employer-based clinics. Every year, the American Hospital Association conducts a survey of its member hospitals. In 2009, the vast majority of U.S. hospitals were community hospitals. That's the association's term for hospitals that provide relatively short-term care and are not affiliated with the federal government. In 2009, the U.S. also had a substantial number of psychiatric hospitals. Federal government hospitals such as veterans hospitals, and long-term care hospitals. As we will explain later in this lecture, long-term care hospitals are different from long-term care residential facilities for older adults. Government serves a critical role in providing hospital and health care to certain U.S. populations. For example, the federal government provides medical care not only to active duty servicemen and women in all branches of the armed forces, but also to retirees and veterans. Federal programs are also in place to provide health service to American Indians and Alaska Natives through the Indian Health Service. Later in this lecture, we will discuss how governments at the local, state, and federal levels provide care to low-income, uninsured, and underserved populations through a network of public safety net hospitals. The Veterans Health Administration, or VHA, is a division of the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs. The department's mission is to serve America's veterans and their families with dignity and compassion, and to help them obtain medical care, benefits, and social support. As part of this mission, the VHA provides care at more than 1,400 outpatient clinics and inpatient hospitals located throughout the country. It employs a staff of 255,000 people and maintains affiliations with more than 100 academic health systems. The VHA is among the largest providers of health professional training in the world, and more than 65% of all U.S. physicians have received some part of their training in VHA medical centers. The VHA also has a long history of accomplishment in medical research. This includes special programs that focus on the medical and psychological needs of veterans, such as post-traumatic stress disorder, blindness rehabilitation, and multiple trauma care. The Military Health System, which is a part of the U.S. Department of Defense, DOD, provides comprehensive medical services for military operations and in response to natural disasters and humanitarian crises around the globe. It also delivers health care to all DOD service members while at home and during deployment, as well as to their families and to retirees. Each branch of the armed forces has its own network of U.S.-based hospitals that provide care to service members. To ensure comprehensive access to medical services anywhere in the U.S., the Military Health System uses the TRICARE network, which coordinates partnerships between the facilities of the Military Health System and civilian hospital and healthcare providers. The Indian Health Service, or IHS, is an agency within the Department of Health and Human Services. It is responsible for raising the physical, mental, social, and spiritual health of American Indians and Alaska Natives. Most IHS funding is for people living on or near reservations or in Alaska Native villages, but some funding is for Native people living in urban areas. The main goal of the IHS is to ensure that these populations have access to comprehensive, culturally acceptable health services. The services are provided directly by the IHS, either through tribal programs or through services purchased from private providers. The federal IHS system consists of 28 hospitals, 63 health centers, 31 health stations, and 34 urban Indian health projects. Through self-determination contracts, American Indian tribes and Alaska Native corporations administer 17 hospitals, 263 health centers, 92 health stations, and 166 Alaska Village clinics. Public hospitals and health systems are funded by local, state, and federal government programs. These facilities are commonly known as safety net hospitals. They provide hospital services for people with low incomes, people who are uninsured or underinsured, and other vulnerable populations. As part of a community health center, they provide many essential community-wide services, such as primary care, trauma care, and intensive care for newborns, and they train many of America's doctors, nurses, and other healthcare providers. Public hospitals may be owned and administered by public governments or private nonprofit groups, but all rely on a variety of funding sources to finance the care they provide. These include government payers, private insurance companies, and self-paying patients. Most Americans who are covered by private health insurance receive hospital care from private hospitals. These may be nonprofit or for-profit institutions, and they may serve general populations or those with specific health needs. Some of the most common types of private hospitals are discussed in the next few slides. Community hospitals are non-governmental general hospitals that are available to the public for acute care. An acute illness or injury is one that has a relatively abrupt onset, such as a broken bone or a heart attack. These facilities provide a wide range of general health services, and most patients stay for less than 30 days. Community hospitals provide their services by contracting with various public and private health insurers and with managed care organizations. Some hospitals are part of a private managed care consortium, such as a health maintenance organization or HMO. They are thus open only to members of that organization. A well-known example of this hospital model is Kaiser Permanente. A trauma center is a hospital that is equipped to provide comprehensive emergency medical services to patients suffering traumatic injuries, such as serious burns, head injuries, or gunshot wounds. A hospital is designated as a trauma center according to the laws of its individual state. However, the American College of Surgeons has developed a verification system that ranks trauma centers by their capabilities. For example, a Level 1 trauma center provides the highest level of surgical care to trauma patients. It must have specialty staff and equipment available at all times. It is required to treat a minimum volume of trauma patients every year. And it must have formal programs in place for research, professional education, and community outreach. Level 2 trauma centers also provide comprehensive trauma care, but they may work in collaboration with Level 1 trauma centers for additional clinical expertise. Level 3 centers found in rural or suburban settings do not have the same availability of specialists as higher level centers. However, they have resources for emergency resuscitation, surgery, and intensive care of most trauma patients. Level 3 centers usually have transfer agreements with Level 1 or Level 2 trauma centers that provide backup resources for treatment of exceptionally severe injuries. An academic medical center is formed by a partnership between a medical school and other healthcare organizations, such as one or more teaching hospitals, a nursing school, clinics, emergency departments, freestanding outpatient care centers, and individual and group practices. Academic medical centers are essential for educating physicians and other healthcare professionals, and they typically represent the leading edge of medical knowledge. In addition to providing medical education, academic medical centers engage in laboratory research and human research studies designed to find new ways of preventing, diagnosing, and treating illnesses. Similar to public hospitals, they often care for low-income people and otherwise underserved patients. Many academic physicians specialize in rare or severe conditions or complex medical procedures, so these medical centers attract patients from a wide region who need more specialized care than a local community hospital can provide. At the heart of the academic medical center are teaching hospitals. These hospitals serve as the hands-on classrooms for medical students, nursing students, resident physicians, fellows, and other trainees. Teaching hospitals allow trainees to care for patients under the supervision of senior medical personnel. This experience is an essential part of the long and rigorous training that physicians and nurses must undergo before they are allowed to practice independently. Tertiary care centers are specialized centers designed to provide support for patients who have conditions that are difficult to treat. Examples are centers for head and neck cancer, high-risk pregnancy, organ transplantation, and neurosurgery. Tertiary care centers provide access to special facilities and personnel, trials of experimental drugs and devices, and other resources that might not be available at a general hospital or medical center. Patients are usually referred to these centers by their primary care physician or a specialist. The hospitals discussed so far are typically called acute care hospitals because on average their patients generally stay less than 25 days. People needing more long-lasting care may be transferred to a long-term care hospital. These facilities specialize in treating patients who have one or more serious conditions, but who are expected to improve with time and care and eventually return home. Services provided in long-term care hospitals typically include comprehensive rehabilitation, respiratory therapy, head trauma treatment, and pain management. Long-term care hospitals should not be confused with long-term care custodial facilities, such as assisted living or nursing homes, where most patients are permanent residents. Patients facing the end of life benefit greatly from hospice care, where especially trained nurses and other professionals care for patients as their illness progresses, relieving pain and other symptoms and providing emotional support for them and their families. In many cases, hospice care is provided in the patient's home. In other situations, the patient is admitted to a dedicated inpatient hospice facility or to a hospital or nursing home that can accommodate hospice care. Now that we have looked at the most common types of hospitals in the U.S., we will summarize some of the non-traditional settings in which healthcare can be provided. School-based health centers grew out of the recognition that good health is an essential element of learning readiness. Children in low-income families and otherwise vulnerable situations routinely encounter systemic barriers to healthcare, even if they are covered by public insurance programs. School-based health centers bring comprehensive, preventive, and primary healthcare services to students at school, where they spend most of their day, without requiring parents to miss work to meet their child's routine healthcare needs. School health programs serve all children, but they focus on the uninsured and underserved. For example, such clinics can improve access to health care for children who receive benefits from Medicaid or the Children's Health Insurance Program. Many school-based programs provide not only primary medical care, but also psychological counseling, dental services, and nutrition education. The ultimate goal is to limit health-related absences from school and provide children with the foundation they need to grow into a satisfying and productive adulthood. Community health centers are similar to, and sometimes work in conjunction with, the public safety net hospitals discussed earlier in this lecture. They offer primary care to groups that have limited access to health care. These include people with low incomes, people without health insurance, those who do not speak English well, migrant and seasonal farm workers, homeless individuals and families, and those living in public housing. A community with a high need for health services is referred to by the federal government as a medically underserved area, or MUA. In addition to providing primary health care services, these centers promote access to health care by providing supportive services such as education, translation, and transportation. Fees for services are adjusted based on patients' ability to pay. Community-based centers receive much of their funding from public agencies and government grants. Locating health clinics at the place of employment is a fast-growing trend. It was born out of the recognition that most healthcare spending occurs when employees develop chronic conditions, which means long-term conditions such as diabetes and heart disease. By offering primary care and urgent care services directly to workers, employers have found they can cut costs. Employer-based healthcare clinics emphasize health maintenance and illness prevention over care of chronic illnesses. Large employers may have permanent clinics installed, while employers with fewer staff can contract with mobile providers for essential primary care services. Either way, data show that these clinics cut costs while reducing absenteeism and enhancing employee satisfaction with their jobs. To review, the U.S. healthcare system includes a wide variety of hospital types. Hospitals may be public or private, for-profit or non-profit, and offer comprehensive or specialized services. Non-traditional healthcare settings are also important in serving various segments of the population. These include school-based clinics, community health centers, and employer-based clinics. Delivery of healthcare at the workplace is an especially fast-growing trend.